Hi, we're Roused by Nature.
And you're listening to
CITR
101.9, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Drowning in water drops. Don't let me go. For I can't swim in water drops. I'll never back home. Here in my water world, I float my day away. But I can't swim in water drops. The end is soon for me.
Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hey there! This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit citr.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
Hey, hello, it's, oh, goodness. Oh, my, something just came right into my ear. But, you know, we'll all get a taste of that soon. Had the preview channel on, and it was a real half-second ride. This is John, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Here, we're playing Queued Up right now for the next hour. My show, of course. What a treat, what a delight. And CITR is live broadcasting, and we live broadcast from the Point Grey UBC campus, which is located on top of the unceded traditional territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. I've got to run into the studio real quick, but we are going to get up to some Halloween-y shenanigans for the most part today. Maybe we'll do a Halloween retrospective follow-up the next week. This is the case for me and Halloween. I always feel that I wish to become part of it, to be one with the spirit of the season. And then inevitably a thousand different things come up, just like the thing that is bringing me out of the studio right now. But before I go and return, of course I shall return, I'm going to put on Cindy Lee's Malenkost. You'll hear from the beginning of the album. Then I'll tell you a bit about what you heard after that. So I'll be right back. Until then, please enjoy.
Thank you.
Hello. This is John, and I'm back here in the studio right now with you all. And the case is, so I had to leave. See, that was the funny thing. And I think today is going to be a show with a lot of inflow, a lot of outflow, a lot of spiritual energy. And I should clarify, I mean that in a insincere and ironic way. I'm talking about, like, spooky plastic skeletons and people with, like, zombie makeup on is about as spiritual, actually, as those zombie runs that they have at the Vancouver Art Gallery. The hokey kind of non-frightening spiritualism. The Halloween spiritualism is what I'm talking about, of course. So we all have to understand that very clearly. This is going to be a bout of wholesome Halloween fun we're having today. We just heard... It wasn't a foreboding cough either. It doesn't portend to any imminent infection or infestation or spiritual envelopment. I'm wholly contained within this studio as a discreet person and being, inviolable and immutable in essence. What we just heard was Blue Hearts 1 from Gal Grayson, which is, I believe the project is now expired, but it is a Vancouver-based, I guess you could say, dream rock project, deriving a lot of inspiration from old forms of, I guess you could say, coastal, tropical, tinged pop. And I know, Patrick Garrity is behind Gal Grayson, sort of project called Roll Mock, which I think is rather fantastic. And that was styled as, I believe, globalist rock. So, interesting juxtapositions there. I was playing that right after I played Cindy Lee, which is another local project. From, oh my goodness, I'm forgetting the name, but from, I think, no, you know what, I'm not going to say the name and then screw it up. But that is from an ex-women's member, the infamous Calgary-based noise rock band Women, which also split partially into the, I guess nowadays, much maligned Toronto project, Viet Cong. We're going by some other name. Preoccupations, yes, that would be it. And to end this tangential preoccupation so we can get on with this haunted episode, Cindy Lee is another band playing a dreamy form of rock. In this case, tinged with a lot of noise. A lot of dirge. A lot of nostalgic sadness, sort of a paean for those old, how should I say this, femme fatales, that figure in society, not in society, but as depicted in film of years past, the Hollywood trope, and trying to derive, I think, some psychological affect and sadness and investigation into that trope. So, you know, good spooky sounds. One might use the adjective atmospheric, but also with Gal Grayson and Cindy Lee, the idea of performance. And isn't that what Halloween is all about? Coming up now, we've got a track from John Oswald. John Oswald is a Canadian academic and artist. And I suppose his primary contribution to the musical world is in coining the term plunderphonic. Plunderphonic being songs which are reconstituted collages, made up of all kinds of samples and sources cut together from other songs, course, back then, the theory behind this was very disjunctive. It was about a kind of parody and pastiche. And today, when we think of plunderphonics, when we think of sampling, it's more a subtle kind of reference that is not necessarily meant to make the listener apprehend the fact that they are listening to a cut-up collage, a reconstitution. DJing is, in fact, you know, I shouldn't say in fact, makes me sound like a stodgy, you know, I don't know anything. Trust me, I don't know a thing. But DJing is about flow in many cases. It's about reference, but it's also about flow and being able to move from one feeling to another in a subtle way. So, you know, this is a very different kind of sampling. And I'm just realizing now how boring this conversation is. So, you know, thank goodness that my guest here has actually manifested so they can release me from this terrible conversation. Hi, DJ Chickpea. How's it going?
Hello.
Did you get a coffee?
I did.
I was trying to do a spooky show, but I screwed it all up, and I've just been talking about 80s Canadian pencil neck producers. What do I do?
Well, did you tell them about how the aliens are involved with 80s Canadian pencil neck producers?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know.
The whole thing's aliens. It's pretty spooky.
But what kind of coffee did you get?
An Americano.
Why did you get that? That's just watered down espresso.
That's true.
Why didn't you get something more fulfilling like a latte?
Well, I got an Americano Misto. So it's just like half.
What is that? What's the misto part of it?
Just milk on top. Like they steam milk and put it on top.
Great.
school trip to Toronto, and we went to this house that was some sort of historical house, and it had secret passageways in it. I don't know what it was called, but it was like a really, it was an old house, and we did a tour of it, and I took a picture of this chair that was a replica of a chair that I think Queen Elizabeth had. And later on that trip, when I was looking at the picture on my digital, like, Coolpix camera, we zoomed in to a reflection on the chair, and it looked like a face. So I got a lot of social cred in grade 8 for having a picture of a ghost on my camera.
I was talking to you about paranormal experiences. I think you follow ghosts, ghost ephemera phenomenon. You know about the electricity and the charges relating to ghosts and other echoes of the past. You're shaking your head at me. I just mean you know about them in general. I'm not asking you to give me a. You keep shaking your head at me, and it's really frightening. Now you're widening your eyes at me, and is there a ghost behind me right now?
Do you see it?
So for those of you who are listening, because that's what you do with radio, is you hear things. We're sitting in a room with three windows, there is some slight reflection in each window, so no, I see myself. I only see myself. That's me.
I started laughing because this sounds like an anime boy's voice.
Yeah. grown-ass American woman.
Listen to that saxophone. That is really something.
Oh,
away side here. Certainly Manchester United getting the early sighters, and from Lingard, it was tipped over. They worked this really well.
God bless those English boys. Is there something funny about that, DJ Chickpea?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, neither do I. We just heard VVM's cover of the song True. As I was saying, that love how he manipulated that saxophone solo in the middle of that track. VVM is an early project, although he still uses it, I believe, in rare occasions, of Leyland Kirby, who's probably best known in, let's say, the Pitchfork sphere as the caretaker, releases really degraded loops of classic ballroom tunes, sort of a response to Kubrick's The Shining, if you've ever seen The Shining, sort of a take on that kind of, let's say, turn of the 20th century sound, rendered through a very ghostly persona. But Leyland Kirby also releases a ton of great projects under his own name as a solo composer. And really, again, if you like the absurdity of VVM, or you prefer the more haunted, sentimental side of things with Caretaker, I do recommend listening to his solo material. Before that, we heard a remix of American Woman American Woman by the Muddy Magnolias, which is from the Twin Peaks soundtrack. Twin Peaks The Return appears in two episodes from that new season, and I absolutely love that cover of the song. Very, very evocative. So I guess, you know, I've been playing that kind of music. I played some more haunted, kind of nostalgic music earlier, because I think these are about performance, but a very, you know, twisted kind of performance, a very kind of deliberate shift in persona that might unveil something deeper and darker within. But, you know, I think with all good spooktacular specials, and maybe we'll do another spooky special next week too, who knows, I think there's room for gathering around the campfire and, you know, really diving into the tales we tell each other about our own personal hauntings, about our experiences with the world beyond the one that feels as if it is about to crash down upon us from above or swallow us up from below, the hidden worlds of the supernatural and paranormal, which we cannot sense in most ordinary ways, but yet undeniably have an influence on us in our everyday lives. DJ Chickpea, I brought you in to share a story, and before we get into this, is there any kind of content warning or something you want to say for people who might be too spooked? Maybe now is time to change the channel. If you are prone to being spooked, if at times you have been so frightened that your skeleton briefly detaches itself from your body.
And you feel your soul.
Yeah, like, well, no, I mean, like, literally your skeleton, like, jumps out of you like you're some kind of costume, and then it shakes, yeah, and runs, and then jumps back into you. You know, if you've ever had this happen to you, number one, consult a physician. Number two, maybe it's time to tune out and then tune back in about 10 minutes time or so. Although we'll only be spending about 5 minutes on this spooky tale. Do you have any warnings for anyone?
No particular warnings. It's not violent, but it is very scary.
Okay.
Like, existentially frightening.
Right, okay. So, yeah, there you go. For those of you with a phobia of existential queries or other threats upon the psyche that come along existential lines, there's your fair warning, because now we're going to get into it. You ready? Let's put on our story time hats. I've got to turn off the microphones for a moment to facilitate this.
It was a dark and stormy night near the end of October. A night not unlike tonight might be. It had been a cool, cloudy day. A day not unlike today. In a forest in the lower mainland, not too far from here, a family was camping. A mom and her partner and their young son, who was about 10. It had been raining all night. The boy couldn't sleep. He was lying in the tent, listening to the sounds of the forest, when, all of a sudden, he had to pee. So, he got up out of the tent, being very careful not to disturb his parents, and went out into the forest. They were camped in a clearing in the forest. So he decided to walk a little ways away to find a good spot. To pee.
What's so funny?
Nothing. I just was overcome with nervous laughter because this story is going to get so scary.
Yeah, you still have time to tune out if you're not prepared for this, by the way. But for those of you who are dedicated, things are about to get hectic.
Pretty hectic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you have to take a second pee? Yeah, I think so. I think you had to take a second pee. Hold on. Please continue, though.
Thank you. So, he went pee. But then, was so curious about his surroundings. You know, he was quite a curious child. So he kept walking through the forest. He thought he saw a deer. Like, wow. He was raised in the city, so he didn't get out to the forest very much. So he was walking and looking at the stars, and he was pretty brave, so he wasn't scared. And then he came upon another clearing. What the heck, he thought? What's that? And he looked through the trees, and it was a castle. A huge Gothic castle. Suddenly, there was a thunder crack.
That was our copyright-free thunder. We couldn't clear thunder, we had to go with that instead.
But imagine that it was a thunder.
Yeah, crack. Yeah.
And a bolt of lightning illuminated the castle. And the boy was very curious, so he walked over to it and went up to push open the door. But just as he did, the door creaked open.
But we can play the thunder sound again. Hold on a moment. We couldn't clear the creak either. But I mean, it's the same thing, really.
But just imagine.
Yeah.
So he goes into the castle and he sees a staircase going up and a door immediately to his left. He looks up at the staircase and it's really dark. So he can't really see how high it goes up. But then all of a sudden, all the candles along the staircase illuminate one by one, going up and up and up. It's a spiral staircase, up so high that he can hardly see the top of the staircase. Then he, all of a sudden, sees the door start to creak open. So he runs up the stairs. Well, he walks up the stairs. Got a little ahead of myself. So he's walking up the stairs. He didn't turn back to investigate the door creaking open. He's walking up the stairs. And then all of a sudden he hears a thump, thump, thump. And he looks around. And there's a coffin floating off the ground, following him up the stairs. So he's pretty freaked out, so he starts going faster up the stairs. And the coffin goes faster. and there's a spooky laughter coming from inside the coffin. So he starts running up the stairs, and the coffin starts going even faster. So he's really freaked out. He's running up the stairs, and the coffin's still following him. And then finally,
sorry, hold on. That wasn't part of this. That was my ringtone. Sorry, everyone. Sorry. I got wait. DJ Chickpea, can you keep going? I gotta take this. I'm gonna stop.
So after what feels like an eternity, he finally reaches the top of the staircase, and there's a door, and the coffin's closing in on him. So he goes through the door and comes out onto a balcony. And the coffin's slowly getting closer, slowly going through the door. So the boy looks around, but he can't find any way to escape the balcony. And he looks over the edge of the balcony, but it's so high. 1,000 feet in the air, so he knows if he fell, he would surely perish. And he looks all around for another way to escape the coffin, but he doesn't see anything. So he starts searching for a weapon, because meanwhile the coffin's getting closer and closer and closer. So he looks around for a rock or something to throw at it, but he can't find anything. And then the coffin is only a foot away from him now, and the coffin door starts slowly creaking open. So he's looking around frantically. He's thinking maybe he could just punch the coffin, but then he reaches into his pocket, and he knows what to do. Now, he reaches into his pocket and pulls out a cough drop to stop that coffin. John, please play the real reaction from the audience.
I love being spooked. Damn.
It's a classic.
Okay. So yeah, thank you DJ Chickpea for that. Anyone who's hiding underneath their tent can pull that off now. It's all good.
It's just a story.
There's cry, no such thing babies.
As floating coffins. And there's no gothic castles in
the lower mainland.
Or is there?
So thanks for listening today to Cue It Up here on CITR 101.9 FM. All Access Pass is coming up at 4 p.m., and then the Arts Report is on at 5 p.m., so make sure you stay tuned. Two of the best talk programs we have at the station, and maybe they will be spooking you as well. This next track has a bit of vulgar language in it. I wouldn't say so, but you know, some people might find it a bit offensive. I would hope not, but fair warning out going there. It's the new Fever Ray track, Fever Ray, one half of the sister-brother duo, The Knife, from, I want to say, Iceland or Norway or Sweden. It's a dragon tattoo country for sure. It is a dragon tattoo country. But yeah, project from Karin Dreyer Anderson, Fever Ray has a new album coming out. I think the last
Swedish.
Thank
from
you.
Sweden.
Last time, so it is from a dragon tattoo country.
From Gothenburg.
From a dragon tattoo. From a dragon tattoo country.
The group consisted of siblings.
So anyhow, thank you. Fever Ray. Here's To the Moon and Back. Thank you for tuning in this week. That's it for Cue It Up. Stay tuned. All Access Pass is up next. Thanks, DJ Chickpea.
You're welcome. And you're welcome to all the listeners out there who got a good spook from that story. And if you'd like to hear more scary stories, Google True Ghost Stories and you'll find some.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, DJ Chickpea. Okay, here we go. Fever Raid, to the moon and back. Enjoy, please. Let's see here. God. Ugh.